The chill began in my fingers and toes.
Ms. Valentine. Ms. Valentine. I think we're finished.
I nodded slightly, took a deep breath, and blew out between my teeth a shrill whistle that ripped through the thrumming power. The cold retreated. The god clasped a pale, egg-shaped glow that was the soul to his bare, naked chest. Dog's head quiet and still. White teeth gleaming. Eloquent, dark eyes. The god regarded me gravely. Was this the time that he would take me too? Something in me, maybe my own soul, leapt at the thought. The comfort of those arms, to rest my head on that broad chest, to let go.
Dante?
My eyes fluttered open. The sword flashed up between me and the pale egg-shaped blur in the air. The light drained back down into the steel box, fluttering briefly against the flat surfaces, limning the sharp corners in a momentary pale glow. Ugh, I sagged, bracing my free hand against the polished mahogany of the table, the smell of my own power sharp and nose-stinging in the air. I could feel the demon's alertness. When I finally looked around the dark room, one of the cops had the younger son, the acne-scarred, wet-eyed boy with the greasy hair, in plasteel cuffs. The boy blinked, his fish mouth working.
God damn it. If I'd known this was a criminal case, I'd have charged the estate double. Gotta have Trina make a note about this lawyer.
The wife sat prim and stick-like still, but her eyes were wide and wild with shock. Two spots of red high up in her dry cheeks. The mistress sat, imperturbable. The older boy stared at his younger brother as if seeing a snake for the first time. I managed to slide over to the edge of the table and put my legs down, sheathing my sword. Surprisingly, the demon put his hands up, held my shoulders, and steadied me as I slid down. My fingers were numb.
How long?
An hour or so. Your lips are blue.
I nodded, swayed on my feet.
It'll pass soon. I'll be fine. What happened?
Jaff leaned in, his fingers digging into my shoulders.
The mistress was accused of killing the man, but the ghost said it was his son that beat him to death with a piece of iron.
Miss Valentine.
The cops were taking the limp kid away. He hung in their hands, staring at me. The shorter cop, curly dark hair, dark eyes, he looked Novo Italiano, forked the sign of the evil eye at me, maybe thinking I couldn't see. Lethargy washed over me again. I swayed.
An hour? I kept the ghost talking, a full manifestation, for an hour? From a pile of ashes? No wonder I'm tired.
The air was so cold from the ghost's appearance, my breath hung in a white cloud, and little threads of steam came from Jaff's skin.
I hate the ash ones.
I turned to the bland-faced lawyer.
Just happened to slip your mind that this was a criminal affair.
Consider your, fee tripled.
His eyes were wide, his slick blonde hair ever so slightly disarranged. Maybe I'd scared him. Good. He'd think twice about trying to cheat a sigh out of a decent fee again.
Thanks.
He was sweating, and his face was pasty white.
I hardly...
It was a transitory pleasure to scare the shit out of a little scumbag like this.
I know. I'll be going now. I suppose I could just let myself out?
Oh, well, we could,
No worries.
I was suddenly possessed of the intense urge to get the hell out of this bland, perfect antique office and away from this stammering, frightened man. Maybe he wasn't quite as used to necromancers as he'd thought. I never thought I would be grateful for a demon.
but Jaframel apparently had grown impatient waiting for me to finish making the lawyer stumble and sputter, because he put his arm around me and pulled me away from the table.
Ah!
I stumbled slightly. The demon's arm was a warm weight. As soon as he led me past the empty secretary's desk and into the office lobby, I ducked out from under his arm.
Thanks.
My knees were still a little shaky, but my strength would return quickly.
That was a little draining. I had no idea they wanted a full hour from a bunch of ashes.
You appear to be most exceptional.
Jaframel's arm fell back to his side. His eyes were half-lidded, glowing so fiercely that the skin around them seemed to take on a greenish cast. Again, there were runic shapes guttering in their infinite depths.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just a girl looking to pay off her mortgage.
I'm sorry. I doubted your ability.
He fell in step beside me as I headed for the stairs. The elevator chime nearly sent me through my skin. Jaframel's hand closed around my upper arm. Steel fingers sank into my flesh.
Easy, Dante. There is nobody there.
Not the elevator.
If I had to be closed in a small space... At least he had his own shields and could keep his thoughts to himself. Raw as I was, if he'd been human, I might have torn my arm out of his grasp to escape the onslaught of someone else's emotion. As it was, I let him steer me through the door and into the gray-painted stairwell.
So you've decided I'm not so bad?
The ghost's voice still echoed in my head, just outside my mental range. I would hear him for another few hours until my psyche recovered from the shock of holding someone else so closely. Training helped lessen the shock, but could not deaden it completely.
I have decided that you need a familiar. You seem foolhardy.
I'm careful. I've survived this long.
It seems like luck instead of care.
I don't like you very much.
I suppose as much.
By the time we reached the bottom floor, my boots were beginning to feel less like concrete and more like they belonged to me. The awful cold retreated slowly. The mark on my left shoulder, a steady flame that dispelled the ice. My energy was returning, the power well of Saint City flooding me with what I'd expended on the apparition. The ground floor lobby was plush and quiet, water dripping down a tasteful marnik wall fountain. I kept my fingers curled around my sword. As soon as I could walk by myself, I shook his arm away. It was a good thing the weakness never lasted long.
Thanks.
No thanks necessary.
He opened the security lock door, sodium arc light shining against glass. The parking lot was mostly empty, the pavement drying in large splotches. Night air touched my face, a cool breeze sliding through pulled loose strands of my hair. I tucked one behind my ear and checked the sky, clearing up from the usual evening shower. That was good.
Hey, I need to do something, okay?
Why ask me?
Because you'll have to wait for me. Unless you can ride a slickboard.
In the heaven's arms, Connie stripped green-dyed hair back from his narrow, pasty face.
Hey, deadhead, what you want?
The sweet smell of synth hash from the back room filtered out between racks of leathers in garish colors, shin guards, elbow pads, helmets.
Hi, Connie. Here.
I ducked out of my bag. The demon accepted the strap. I felt a thin thread of unease when I handed my sword over.
I need a board in an hour.
Connie leaned back, his dead flat eyes regarding me over the counter.
You got credit.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Give me a board, Connie. The black one.
Don't suppose you're gonna wear any pads.
You got my waiver on file.
I ran my fingertip over the dusty counter, tracing a glyph against the glass. Underneath, blown glass hash pipes glowed. There were even some wood and metal hash pipes, and a collection of incense burners. Graffiti tags tangled over the walls, skate signs and gang marks.
Come on, Connie, I've got a job to do.
I know, you got that look again. Who you hunting down this time, baby?
He waved a ringed hand. His nails were painted black and clipped short. He played for a neo-neo-punk band and had to see his hand on the bass strings in pulsing nightclub light.
Give me the goddamn board.
My emeralds sparked, my rings shifting crazily. The demon tensed behind me.
I'll be back in an hour.
Connie bent briefly, scooped up a slick board from its spot under the counter. He slid the chamois sheath free, revealing a sleek black Valkyrie.
I just tuned it up. Had a magi in here not too long ago, told me to spec the deadhead. Hate that precog shit. You're the only deadhead crazy enough to come to the arms. Why don't you keep this thing at home?
I snatched the board. My hands were trembling. The ambient power of the city helped, soaking into me, replacing what I'd spent in bringing Douglas Shantern back from the dry land of death. But I still wasn't convinced I was still living.
Fine, thanks.
I headed for the front door.
Hey, what to do with a stray here?
Try not to piss him off.
I was running by the time the cool night wind touched my hair, my fingers pressing the power cell. I dropped the board just as the cell kicked in and the sound of a well-tuned slick hummed under my bones. My boots thudded onto the Valkyrie's topside, the board giving resiliently underneath me. My weight pitched forward and the board hummed, following the street.
No, I don't want street side. I want to fly. Tonight I need to fly.
I pitched back, the slick's local anti-grav whining. Riding a slick board is like sliding both feet down a stair rail, weight balanced, knees loose and relaxed, arms spread. It's the closest to flight, to the weightlessness of astral travel plus the gravity of the real world that a human body can ever attain. Hover cells thrummed. Up in the traffic lanes, hovers were zipping back and forth. The thing about hover traffic is that it's like old-time surfing waves. Catch the right pattern and you can ride forever. Just like jacking into a city's dark, twisted soul and pouring power into a spell. But if you miscalculate, hesitate, or just get unlucky, you end up splashed all over the pavement. Hovers and freights have AI pilot decks that take care of keeping them from colliding, making driving mostly a question of following the line on your display with the joystick or signing the control over to the pilot deck. But slicks are just too small to register. The intricate pattern of mapped out lanes for hover traffic was updated and broadcast from Central City Hall in real time to avoid traffic jams, but the slicks couldn't tune into that channel. There wasn't room on a slick for an AI deck, and skaters and slick couriers disdained them anyway. I stamped down on my left heel, my weight spinning the slick board as it rocketed up, and I streaked between two heavy hover transports and into the passenger lane, missing a blue hover by at least half an inch. Plenty of room. Adrenaline hammered in my bloodstream, pounded in my brain. I whipped between hovers, not even thinking. It was pure reaction time. I dove up out of the passenger traffic pattern and into the freight lanes. Riding freight is different. The freight hovers are much bigger and their backwash mixes with more hover cells and reactive to make the air go all funny. It requires a whole different set of cold-blooded calculations. Freight won't kill you like a passenger foul-up will. Slickboard fatalities in the passenger lanes are called quick smacks. Freight fatals are whore dish. They're tricky, and a mistake might not kill you instantly. It might kill you 3 feet ahead or six behind. You never know when a freight's backwash will smack you off your board and tear your slick out from under your feet. I ducked under a whipping freight hover, my hair kissing plasteel, rings showering golden sparks, coat flying, weaving in and out of the hovers like a mosquito among albatrosses.
This is what it feels like to be alive!
I fell in behind a police cruiser that was whipping between freights, going siren silent. They'd already scanned me. An unhelmeted head on a slick isn't a crime, but they like to know who's riding suicidal. And I played with their backwash, riding the swells of turbulence until they dropped out of the traffic patterns. I rode a little while after that, almost lazily, darting down into traffic and swooping back, tagging hovers. When I finally dropped back to street side, hips swaying, body singing, I brought the Valkyrie to a stop right outside the arms and hopped down. My hair fell in my face. My shoulders were loose and easy for the first time since a booming knock on my door had sounded in the rain. Jaframel leaned against the window of the arms, neon lights spilling through the glass and glowing against his wet black hair. He held my bag and my sword, and his knuckles stood out white against the scabbard. I tapped the board up and flipped off the power cell.
Hey! Anything cool happened while I was gone?
He simply stared at me, his jaw set and stone hard. I carried the board back inside and gave it to Connie, using my datband to transfer the rent fee to him. I came out into the night, feeling much more like myself. After every necromance job, I ride a slick board. I fell into the habit years ago, finding that the adrenaline wash from riding the anti-grav worked almost as quickly as sex. The fight-or-flight chemical cascade wiping the cold, leaden weight of dead flesh away and bringing me back to full, screaming life. Other necromancers used calf patches or tantra, took a round in a sparring cage, visited a certified house like Polly Amour's or any cheap bordello. I rode slicks. Jaframel handed my bag over and my sword. His silence was immense, and it wasn't until I looked closer that I noticed a vertical line between his coal-black eyebrows.
What?
I would rather not do that again.
Do what again?
That was foolish and dangerous, Dante.
He wasn't looking at me. He studied the pavement with much apparent interest. I couldn't explain to a demon that a slick board was the only way to prove I was still alive, after lying cheek by jowl with death and tasting bitter ash on my tongue. Neither could I explain to him that it was either the slick or the sparring cage, and I didn't like cages of any kind. Besides, it didn't matter to the demon that I needed to prove I was alive after bringing a soul over the bridge and feeling the cold stiffness of rotting death in my own limbs.
Come on. We've got to visit Abra.
I would like your word that you will not leave me behind again. If you please, mistress.
Don't call me that.
I turned away from him, slinging my bag against my hip and was about to stalk away when he caught my arm.
Please, Dante. I do not want to lose my only chance at freedom for a human's foolishness. Please.
I was about to tear my arm out of his hand when I realized he was asking me politely, and saying please as well. I stared at him, biting my lower lip, thinking this over. A muscle flicked in his smooth golden jaw.
Okay, you have my word.
He blinked. This was the second time in my life I'd ever seen a demon nonplussed. We stood like that, the demon holding my arm and staring at my face for about 20 of the longest seconds of my life so far. Then I moved, tugging my arm away from him, glancing up to check the weather. Still mostly clear, some high scudding clouds and the relentless orange wash of city light.
We've got to get moving. Abra gets mean later on in night.
He nodded. Did I imagine the vertical crease between his eyebrows getting deeper? He looked puzzled.
What?
He said nothing, just shrugged and spread his hands to indicate helplessness. When I set off down the sidewalk, he walked beside me, his hands clasped behind his back, his head down, and a look of such profound thoughtfulness on his face, I half expected him to start floating a few feet off the pavement.
Jaframel?
He didn't look up, avoiding a broken bottle on the pavement with uncanny grace. I readjusted my bag so the strap didn't cut into my shoulder. I'd left both my sword and my bag with him, and he hadn't tampered with either.
You're not bad, you know. For a demon. You're not bad at all.
He seemed to smile very faintly at that. And oddly enough, that smile was nice to see. Abra's shop was out on Clondell Avenue, a really ugly part of town, even for the Tank District. Abracadabra Pawn Shop, we make miracles happen, was scratched on the window with faded gilt lettering.
An exceptionally observant onlooker would notice that there were no graffiti tags on Abra's storefront, and that the pavement outside her glass door with its iron bars was suspiciously clean. Inside, the smell of dust and human desperation vied with the spicy smell of beef stew with chili peppers. The indifferent hardwood flooring creaked underfoot, and Abra sat behind the counter in her usual spot on a three-legged stool. She had long, dark, curly hair and liquid dark eyes, a nondescript face. She wore a blue and silver caftan and large golden hoops in her ears. I had once asked her if she was a gypsy. Abra had laughed and replied, "Aren't we all?" I had to give her that one. Racks of merchandise stood neatly on the wood floor. Slick boards and guitars hung up behind the glassed-in counter that sparkled dustily with jewelry. Her stock did seem to rotate fairly frequently, but I'd never seen anyone come into Abra's to buy anything physical. No. Abra was the spider, and her web covered the city. What she sold was information. Jace had introduced me to Abra a long time ago. Since then, we'd been friends, of a sort. I did her a good turn or two when I could. She didn't sell too much information about my private life, and we edged along in a sort of mutual détente. I'll also admit that she puzzled me. She was obviously non-human, but she wasn't registered with any of the paranormal voting classes. Nichtwren, Kine, Swanhilds, you name it. That had come out when the Parapsychic Act was signed into law, giving them hegemony citizenship. Then again, I knew a clutch of non-humans that weren't registered but managed to make their voices heard the old-fashioned way. By bribe or by hook.
Hey, Abra. Ouch!
The demon's hand bit my shoulder. A complicated flurry of motion ended up with me staring at the demon's back as he held two silvery guns on Abra, who pointed a plas rifle at him.
Well, this is exotic.
Put the gun down, Starok, or your web-weaving days are over.
What the hell did you bring in here, Danny?
Jaff, what are you doing?
She has a weapon pointed at you, Dante. I will burn your nest, Starok. Put the gun down.
Fuck!
Abra slowly laid the plas rifle down and raised her hands.
Psychic women and their goddamn pets. More trouble than anything else in this town.
I need information, Abra. Jaff, she's not gonna hurt you.
Oh, I know that. It's you she'll harm if she can.
Isn't that sweet?
His shop's glass windows bowed slightly under the pressure of her voice. Dust stirred, settled into complicated angular patterns, stirred again. The warding on Abra's shop was complex and unique. I'd never seen anything like it. Abra's face crinkled, her dark eyes lighting with scarlet pinpricks.
Dante, make him go away or no dice!
Oh, for the love of... Jeffermel, she's put the gun down. Put yours away.
There was an eye-popping moment of tension that ended with Jeffermel slowly lowering his guns. His hands flicked, and they disappeared.
As you like.
The smell of amber musk and burning cinnamon suddenly filled the shop. I had quickly grown used to the way he smelled.
But if she moves to harm you, she'll regret it.
I think I'm capable of having a conversation with Abra that doesn't lead to anyone killing anyone else. We've been doing it for years now.
My skin burned with the tension and power in the air. The smell of beef and chilies reminded me I hadn't eaten yet.
Why does she have a gun out, then?
You're not exactly kind and cuddly. Everyone just calm down, okay? Can we do that?
Make them wait outside.
Absolutely not.
Will you both stop it? The longer you two do this, the longer we stay here, and the more uncomfortable it'll be for all concerned. So both of you just shut up!
Silence returned to the shop. I'd be lucky to get anything out of Abra now. The smell of beef stew, desperation, and dust warred with the musky, powerful fragrance of demon. Jaframel's eyes didn't leave Abra's face, but he slowly moved aside so I could see Abra without having to peek around him. I dug the paper scored with Santino's name out of my bag.
I need information on this demon. And I need to know about Dakin Whitaker. And I'm sure we'll find other things to talk about.
Abra's dark eyes lost a bit of their crimson sparks.
What are you paying?
That's not how things stand right now. You owe me, Abra. And if you satisfy me, I'll owe you a favor.
She more than owed me. I had brought her choice gossip last year after that Sherry family fiasco. The information of just who was stealing from the family had been worth a pretty penny, and I was sure she'd sold it to the highest bidder, without, of course, mentioning that I'd been the one to bring her the lace prints. After that, I'd watched the fireworks as the Owens family lost a good chunk of their holdings from an internal power struggle. It always warmed my heart to do the mob a bad turn. Her dark eyes traveled over Jaframel.
You want to meet Jai, Danny? What are you doing hanging out with Hell's Upper Crust?
She recognizes him as a demon, and what kind of demon, too. That's interesting.
Just call me socially mobile. Look, they came and contacted me, not the other way around. I didn't ask for this, but I'm in it up to my eyebrows and sinking fast. And in order to collect on all my balloon payments, I need to be breathing, okay? And I need information to keep breathing, Abra. Now, we've been colleagues for a long time now, and I made you some cash during that Sherry family thing last year, and I'd really like to get some usable information. Okay?
She measured me for a long moment. The demon didn't even twitch, but I felt him tense and ready beside me. My left shoulder was steadily throbbing, the mark pressed into my flesh responding to his attention.
Okay. But you better not ever bring that thing in here again.
He's not a thing.
I didn't say it. Didn't even wonder why I'd thought it. I had all I could handle right in front of me.
If I had a choice, I wouldn't have brought him in the first place. Come on, Abra.
She made a quick movement, slipping the plas rifle off the counter. The demon didn't move, but my shoulder gave a livid flare. It had been close. Very close.
Okay. Give me whatever you got.
I laid the paper down on the counter, face down. I gave her everything I had. Santino / Vardemont, the egg, being dragged into hell, Dakin's addiction to chill, and the job I'd just been on. That was an extra for her. She could sell the information that Douglas Shantern had been murdered by his son. I laid the pattern out for her. And Jaframel drew closer during the recital until his hand was on my shoulder and his long black coat brushed my jeans. Oddly enough, I didn't mind as much as I might have. Abra took it all in, one dusky finger tapping her thin lips. Then she was silent for a long moment and put her hand down, fingers stretched over the paper I'd laid on the counter.
Okay, so you have a tracker. And Spokarelli will give you a waiver, and a dock, and an omni. And you need a direction. And not only that, you need contacts and gossip.
You got it.
And your tame demon there is supposed to keep you alive until you kill this Santino. Then all bets are off.
Jaframel tensed again.
That's my personal estimation of the situation.
Girl, you are fucked for sure.
Don't I know it? Give me what you got, Abracadabra. I've got work to do tonight.
She nodded, dark hair sliding forward over her shoulders. The gold hoops in her ears shivered. Then she flipped the paper over, regarding the twisty, silvery glyph.
Ah, this... Oh, Dante. Oh, no.
The color drained from her dark face. She spread her hand over the paper, not quite touching it. Fingers trembling.
South. South, where it's warm. He's drawn to where it's warm. Hiding. He's hiding. Ah, I can't tell why. A woman. No. A girl.
Jaframel tensed next to me. I didn't think it was possible for him to get any tighter strung. He moved a little closer. I could feel the heat breathing off him, wrapping around me. If he got any closer, he would be molded to my side.
What about the egg?
Abra's eyes were wide and white. Irises a thin ring around her dilated pupils, splotches of hectic color high up on her now pale cheeks.
Broken! Dead! Ash! Ash on the wind!
Abra's hand jerked, smacking down on the counter. I jumped and Jaframel's fingers bit my shoulder. She didn't get these flashes often, but when she did, they were invariably right, though usually not precise enough to be of any real help. I had an even more important question.
How do I kill the son of a bitch, Abra? How do I kill Santino?
Her eyelids fluttered.
Not by demon fire! Neither man nor demon can kill him. Water!
Her lips stretched back over strong white teeth.
Waves! Waves on the shore! Ice! I see you! I see you, Dante! Face down! Floating! You're floating! 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 Floating!
I leaned over the counter, grabbed Abra's shoulders, and shook her.
Abra!
That didn't work, so I slapped her. Not hard, just hard enough to shock her. Her eyes flew open, and Jaframel yanked me back. Abra grabbed onto the counter with white-knuckled fingers. She looked me full in the eyes.
This is gonna kill you, Danny. You understand me? This is gonna kill you.
As long as I take out the fucker that did Doreen, I'll be okay. Information, Abra. Where the fuck is he?
Where else?
Abra was paler than I'd ever seen her.
Nuevo Rio de Janeiro, Danny Valentine. That's where you find your prey.
I scooped up the paper and shoved it in my bag. Abra stared at me, trembling. Her teeth sunk into her bottom lip. It was the first time I'd even seen her remotely close to scared. And she looked terrified.
What about Dakin and the Chill? How the hell did...
Whitaker's hand and fist with the Owens family. Has been for years now. He got hooked last year and started skimming from their shipments.
She reached up to touch her cheek where the mark of my hand flushed red.
You hit me.
You were getting boring. Contacts in Nuevo Rio?
I don't have any. But as soon as you get there, you might want to look up Jace Monroe. He moved down there a while ago, doing work for the Corvin family. He's gone back to the mob.
I hadn't known that. Then again, I'd never asked Abra about Monroe, even though he'd introduced me to her. I knew he'd been mob and suspected he'd gone back to the mob, but hearing it out loud was something else entirely. I made a face.
I'd rather talk to a spasmoid weasel with a plas rifle. So what about gossip?
Word on the street is you're into something big. And there's a warning out there, too. Don't mess around with Danny Valentine.
Hell, I thought that was common knowledge.
You've got a demon for a lapdog, Danny. Nobody wants that kind of static.
She grimaced, rubbed her cheek.
Not even me. Can you go away now?
I nodded, frustration curdling under my collarbones.
Thanks, Abra. I owe you one.
You're not gonna live long enough for me to collect. Now get the fuck out of my shop. And don't bring that thing back here.
Her hand twitched toward the plas rifle, leaning obediently on her side of the counter. Jaframel pulled me away, dragging me across the wooden floor. The temperature in the shop had risen at least 10 degrees.
He is not a thing, Abra.
I'll leave him at home to crochet next time. Thanks, Abra.
If she dies, Starak, I will come hunting for you.
What is wrong with you?
I tried to extract my arm from his hand, with no luck. In fact, he didn't let go of me until we were a good half block away from the pawn shop.
What the hell?
She predicted your death, Dante.
He grudgingly lightened his grip on my arm. I felt bruises starting where his fingers had been. I dug my heels into the pavement and jerked my arm all the way free of his grasp.
What the hell does it matter to you? You're more trouble than you're worth. I could have gotten twice the information out of her if you hadn't gone all chill freak. You're fucking useless!
A muscle in his cheek twitched.
I certainly hope not. You walk into a Starak's den with no protection. You court death with no conception of the consequences, and you blame me for your own foolhardiness.
I blame you? You don't even make any sense. If you had been just a little less set on psychotic, we could have gotten twice as much information from her. But no, you had to play the demon. You had to act like you know everything. You're so arrogant. You never even...
We are wasting time. I will not let you come to harm, Dante, despite all your protests. From this moment forth, I will not allow this foolishness.
Allow? What's this allow? What the bloody blue hell is wrong with you?
Suddenly, the street lamp in front of us popped, its glass bulb shattering and dusting the pavement below with glittering sprinkles. I realized I was far too upset.
I need to fucking well calm down. Too bad it looks like that's not gonna happen anytime soon.
Jeff just stared at me with those laser green eyes, his cheek twitching. The cold wind was beginning to warm up. Necromances and ceremonials both tended to affect a whispery tone after a while. We live by enforcing our will on the world through words wedded to power. And a necromance shouting in anger could cause a great deal of damage. One of the dicta of Magi training ran, "A Magi's word becomes truth." And for trained necromances who walked between this world and the next, discipline was all the more imperative. I tasted ozone. My shields flushing dark blue with irritation, annoyance, and good, clean anger.
Okay. Look, I think we can make some progress if you just tell me what's wrong with you. Okay? You're making this much harder than it has to be.
His jaw worked silently.
If he keeps that up, he might grind his teeth down to nubs.
I bit back a nervous giggle. I rubbed at my arm. It hurt, and so did my left shoulder. The burning, drilling pain reminded me of how quickly my life had grown incredibly fucked up. Even for me.
I wish I'd never seen you. That hurt, you asshole.
I was far too angry to care about calling a demon who could eat me for breakfast an asshole. He reached out for my arm again, and I flinched. His hand stopped in midair, then dropped back to his side. He looked, for the first time, actually chagrined. Or as if he was hovering between chagrin and fury. I'd seen that look before, but only on Jace. I didn't want to think about Jace. My hand shook as I massaged my new bruise.
Look, I'm gonna call Gabe and set up a meet so we can get our supplies. Then I'm packing for Rio and catching a morning transport out there. I can't be taking time to educate your dumbass on how to catch a Godspeed-damned demon in my world. Stop fucking up my hunt, okay?
My emerald spat a single spark out into the night, a brief green flash making his pupils shrink.
I am going to find Santino and kill him. It's my revenge. When I tear his spleen out through his nose, you can have your fucking egg and go back to your fucking prince and stay out of my life. But until then, quit fucking up my hunt! Got it?
He stared at me for another 10 seconds, that muscle in his cheek twitching.
As you like.
Good. Now follow me. And keep your goddamn motherfucking mouth shut.
I met Gabe in a noodle shop on Pole Street. I was starving, and managed to get most of a bowl of beef pho into my stomach before Gabe and Eddie drifted in the front door. Eddie was silently snarling, and Gabe looking cool and impenetrable in a long black police-issue synthwool coat. Gabe slid into the booth across from me, and Eddie lowered himself down with a single glance at the demon, who sat utterly straight next to me, staring into the distance, a teacup steaming gently in front of him. The tattered red velvet and black and white photographs of ancestors and movie stars hung on the walls made the entire place feel warmer than it was. The waitress brought coffee for Gabe, and Eddie ordered seafood soup. I had another mouthful of noodles. Eddie smelled like dirt and violence, and Gabe had one hell of a black eye. Probably fresh, since she would have used a heal charm on it if she'd had time. I studied her for a long time before letting my eyebrows raise.
She tossed her dark hair back over her shoulder.
I got called in to do para back up on a chill raid last night. Some motherfucking dumbass magi dealing chill out of his nightclub, wouldn't you know?
Sorry about that, she shrugged. Her sword was propped between her knees, and Eddie was probably carrying some hardware too.
Not your fault, sweetie. You did the right thing.
She slid a bulky package wrapped in brown paper across the table.
An official bounty hunter's license, 2 HDOC and Omni license to carry, and a plug-in for the net. A sanctioned plug-in.
My jaw dropped. Jaframel's lip twitched. He looked down at the table, one gold-skinned finger tracing a single symbol I wasn't able to decipher, over and over again on the formica.
What the hell?
Someone's put some pressure on the department. Apparently, anything you need is okay. You're a real golden girl right about now.
Gabe's lips quirked up at the corners.
Knowing the devil personally has some benefits, I guess.
You want to get on my shit list, too? Because the number of people on that hallowed list is growing rapidly tonight.
Oh, poor baby.
Eddie glared at me.
So, where are we going? What did Abra say?
Abra said Nuevo Rio. And what's this we?
Jaframel stared out from the booth, his eyes moving over the entire restaurant in smooth arcs. I got the feeling that even the flies buzzing in loose spirals over the tables and the pattern of grease speckles and neon on the front window were receiving his full attention. Behind us, an old Asian man's curl of cigarette smoke rose slowly into the air. I'd been eating noodles here for 6 years, and no matter what time of the day or night, the old man was here, and he was always smoking. He was a dependable thing in a very undependable universe. Gabe studied the demon's impassive face for a few moments.
Well, Doreen was my friend too, and it was my case. Eddie and I have talked it over and we're coming with you.
I put my chopsticks and spoon down.
Gabe, I work alone.
She jerked her chin at the demon.
What, he's good enough to come along but not me?
It's not like that. You know it's not like that.
The familiar tension began in my shoulders, drawing tighter and tighter.
I know you're going to get yourself killed chasing Santino down, and you need backup. Have you read your cards lately?
My last divination session was kind of rudely interrupted.
She batted her long, coal-black eyelashes at me.
Come on, Danny. I've got some vacation time, and I want to bring this fucker down.
Gabe.
She says she's going. Means it, too. Can't dissuade her.
Since when do you use the word dissuade, Eddie? You get yourself a word-a-day holovid pro. Come on, Gabe. I don't want to have to watch out for Eddie on a hunt like this.
Eddie's got his own hunter's license, and he's perfectly capable. You're grasping at straws, Danny. We're coming.
I threw up my hands.
Oh, Sekhmet Sayis. If you must, I suppose. Gods above and below, damn this for a suicidal idea, and Anubis protect us all. What did I do to deserve this?
You were Doreen's best friend. You got her out of that...
Don't. I looked down at the table.
Don't talk about that. I failed when it mattered, Gabe. That's what I did. So don't go patting me on the back. If I'd been stronger, smarter, or faster, Doreen might still be alive.
Silence descended on the table. Eddie's chopsticks paused in midair, noodles hanging from them. Steam drifted up. The smell of fried food, soy sauce, grease, and dust warred with the smell of demon, making my stomach flip. The demon looked over at me. He reached out, deliberately, and touched the back of my wrist with 2 fingers. Heat slid through my body. The mark on my left shoulder tingled. My other arm, where the bruise was swiftly developing, gave a crunching flare of pain.
Ah!
And then eased. He said nothing. I licked at dry lips and finally jerked my wrist away from him, nearly upsetting my almost empty soup bowl.
Oh, shit!
I caught it, gathered my chopsticks, and dropped them into the plas glass bowl. I picked it up.
I'm catching a transport out in the morning.
We've already got the tickets. For you, too. And we're bringing munitions. Being a cop is good for something.
Yeah, it better be.
I took a long drink of hot beef broth, holding my chopsticks out of the way with my thumb. The demon still watched me. I ignored him. When I set my bowl down, Gabe was staring into her coffee cup.
Better go home and get some sleep. We're scheduled for a 10 a.m. jump off.
Charming. I poked at the demon's shoulder with the hilt of my sword.
Okay. Come by my house about 8:30 tomorrow, all right?
I took the bulky package with me, following the demon as he rose gracefully to his feet and moved aside, offering his hand to help me stand. I didn't take it, squirming out of the booth on my own. Gabe peered around Eddie, who had his face buried in his bowl, supremely unconcerned.
Don't get any ideas about stranding me, kid. It's hard enough to find a friend nowadays. I don't want you to go all bonsai on me.
Oddly enough, that made a lump rise in my throat.
You win, Gabe. You win.
I turned around and headed for the door.
Nice to be working with you.
We made it out onto the hushed street. The noodle shop's neon-lit windows threw a warm red glow onto the pavement. The demon still said nothing. My arm didn't hurt anymore. I could feel the demon's eyes on me. Wouldn't you know, he wasn't bothering looking at where he was going. He was busy looking at me.
What?
I kicked a soda float can out of the way.
I can feel you wanting to say something, so spit it out.
We walked for maybe a block until he spoke.
You're distressed. I hurt your arm. My apologies.
We could have gotten a lot more out of Abra if you hadn't threatened her.
I did not want you injured.
Because it'll foul up your own carefully laid plans. Fine.
He was quiet for another half minute, during which we crossed Pole Street. I looked both ways this time. The old feeling of being on a hunt, adrenaline and sour boredom and fierce determination was beginning to come back.
You are the most infuriating human I have ever met.
I thought you didn't often leave hell.
I was so out of sorts that my neck was starting to tingle.
Why must even an apology be a battle with you?
I thought demons didn't apologize.
You are testing my patience, Dante.
Go back to hell, then.
If I were human, would you be so cruel to me?
If you were human, you wouldn't have shown up at my house and dragged me to hell with a gun pointed at my head and got me involved in this mess.
Shit, get over it, Danny. You're losing your focus. What is wrong with you?
Nothing was wrong with me. I thought I had made my peace with Doreen's death, but the ghosts of the past were standing up, shaking out their dusty clothes and emerging into my life again. I didn't want to face any more memories of pain and terror and death. I had too many already. And if the memories of Doreen were coming back, why not the other memories I thought I'd locked up and buried for good? Let's make it a party for Danny Valentine. Let's get out all the old terrors and shake her to and fro. How about that?
How would you have preferred it, then?
I would have preferred to be left alone. I thought you were going to apologize.
I already did. If you weren't so determined to hate me, perhaps you would have noticed.
You arrogant!
A noise from the alley made me stop mid-stride and whirl. My sword cleared the sheath. A good fight was just what the doctor ordered. My lips peeled back from my teeth.
Come on out.
I dropped into guard position, my blade suddenly aflame with blue light. Even the thought of the paperwork it would take to clear up the mess wasn't enough to deter me from stepping forward, unconsciously putting the demon behind me, as if to protect him. The blue glow of my sword suddenly reflecting on eyes and teeth and glints of metal. The demon turned too, an oddly graceful movement, peering into the alley. He held up a hand, and sudden light scored the darkness, making my eyes water.
Shit, he's destroyed my night vision, damn it!
I flicked my sword up into the blind guard, readying myself for a strike. Here on Pole Street, it wasn't likely to be a mini-gang like on the subway. Here, it was likely to be a full-fledged pack of street wolves. And even though I had a sword and a necromancer's tat, it could get really ugly, really quickly. But ugly was just fine with me. The flood of copper adrenaline was almost as good as riding a slickboard. Unfortunately, the demon's little light ball showed six dark shapes fleeing down the alley. One with a metal glint in his hands, switchblade or gun didn't matter. I stood there as the demon calmly flicked his wrist, bringing the white-hot glowing sphere back to rest obediently in his palm. Another flick of his wrist and the light was gone, making me blink my dazzled eyes. The smell of ozone and humidity mixed with the sharper smell of garbage and fear.
and over it all, the smoky smell of demon.
As I said, you appear to need a caretaker. Were you unaware of being followed? And did you think to protect me?
His face resolved as my pupils expanded. Green eyes glowing and half-lidded, his mouth curled up faintly at the corners, laughing at the poor, stupid human.
I don't need to be taken care of, especially when it's only a grunge-smelling pack of Pole Street wolves. I need to get this over with so I can go back to my life, pay my mortgage, and retire.
I resheathed my sword. The blue glow draining from the blade as unspent adrenaline wound my nerves up like a slick set on high.
I'm gonna go get some sleep.
He nodded. I set off down Pole Street, vaguely wishing there had been a fight. The demon's disdain was infuriating, even though I shouldn't have cared. It took me about a block to realize I'd been rude.
Hey.
The demon paced beside me, silent as a shark.
Yes.
Wary. But he looked puzzled, too, as if I had just done something extraordinary.
Thanks for the apology. And I tend to take point to protect whoever I'm with. It's not a comment on your ability. I'm sure you're able to take care of yourself.
Did he just stumble slightly, or was it my imagination?
Jaff didn't say a word.
Danny! Get out! Get the fuck out!
Dante, wake up. Wake up.
No! No! Don't! No!
I came bolt upright, my fingers hooked into claws, scrambling back until my shoulders hit the wall. My back burned, the three whip scars full of heat, the burn scar on my left ass cheek twinging, and the scars across my belly and up my right side, pulsing with awful, fiery, remembered, numb pain. Jaffermill's hand dropped back down to his side. His hair was slightly mussed, as if he'd been sleeping too. His eyes glowed, casting dim shadows under his nose and cheekbones and lower lip.
You were dreaming. I heard you scream.
My left shoulder ached most of all. A deep, desperate pain. I blinked at him. The sheet had come free. I clutched it to my chest. My rings spat green-gold swirls of light. I rubbed at my left shoulder with a fistful of sheet, my silk nightgown wadded up at my hip. The phantom pain drained away, each wound giving a final, vicious sear, promising a return. The whip scars went first, but the claw marks on my left side lingered. I reminded myself that I was not bleeding. Not anymore. I reached for the box of tissues on my nightstand. It was my only admission of the tears, having to wad up the tissue and toss it in the general direction of the bathroom. My heart rate dropped to something like normal, and I found my voice.
You heard me?
Of course I heard you. You bear my mark.
He pointed to my left shoulder. He was still wearing that long black coat.
He must not have much of a dry cleaning bill.
You're still wearing that coat.
I usually do. What were you dreaming about?
Santino? When he killed Doreen?
I rubbed at my shoulder.
Why does it hurt?
How did he kill her?
He kills psionics. We thought he was a serial killer. He eviscerates.
He bleeds psychics? Not just ordinary humans?
I nodded, pushing strands of my hair back over my shoulders.
He took trophies, internal organs. He took the femur, or parts of it. It was his trademark. We couldn't figure out what his victims had in common until I did a reconstructive of a crime scene, and we found out all of his victims were size. Then we went back through... Gods. He sent each one flowers. Flowers!
Jeffermel nodded. His eyes were so bright they cast little green sparkles against his cheekbones. He settled on the edge of my bed.
I see.
I figured out he was the Saint City Slasher by going through some security tapes on one of the victim's buildings. By that time, Gabe was on the case. I think it was my being on the case that made Santino fixate on Doreen. He sent those flowers. Gabe agreed with me that Doreen was a target, and we outthought him. God, it must have just made him more angry.
I relaxed, muscle by muscle.
Moving Doreen from safe house to safe house, one step ahead of the killer. Living out of our suitcases, me lying awake every night with my hand curled around my sword hilt, listening. My entire world narrowing to keep Rena alive one more day.
Jeffermel touched my shoulder with two fingers, warmth spreading through my cold bones. Goose flesh prickled at my skin.
That's a nice trick.
We are creatures of fire.
The way his eyes were burning, I believed it. I shut my eyes. That was a mistake because Santino's face hung in the darkness behind my lids. I stared at the face, the black teardrops over the eyes, the high-pointed ears, long nose, sharp teeth. I thought he had rich boy cosmetic augments to make himself look like a Nichtfren. I thought he was psionic and overrode me while I was losing consciousness. Even though the cops couldn't find any sign of a memory wipe, I thought he was just a sick, twisted human psionic.
Dante, come back.
His fingers were still on my shoulder, bare skin scorching against mine. My eyes flew open. He leaned across my tangled bed, his fingers almost melded to my shoulder. My other shoulder, the one that bore his mark, twinged sharply. I tipped my chin down to point at my shoulder.
Why does it hurt?
He shrugged.
Well, I am your familiar. I suspect it's one of the prince's jokes.
What are you talking about?
How much do you know of the bond between magi and familiar?
My heart rate calmed down. Sweat dried on my skin. I tasted copper adrenaline and blood. I'd bitten my lip.
I told you, not much. Just that some magi get familiars. It's the great quest for every magi. Mostly imp-class demons, just little guys. Barely enough to light a candle.
It's my duty to obey you. It's your duty to feed me.
You know where the kitchen is. Thanks for waking me up. I haven't had a bad nightmare like that in a couple of years.
The lie came out smoothly. The nightmare returned almost every night, punctually, unless I was exhausted. I had plenty of nightmares, from Rigor Hall, from some of the jobs I'd been on, from any number of horrible things I'd witnessed or had done to me. But the replaying of Santino's last assault had top billing for the last few years. It was my heaviest regret, not being strong enough or fast enough when it counted. Jaff was quiet, and still.
I don't need human food.
I touched my bleeding lip. My sword lay on my other side, safe in its sheath.
So what are you talking about? Power?
Blood. Sex. Fire.
His fingers fell away from my shoulder.
Imps can feed on alcohol and drug intoxication. But I wouldn't recommend that. You need your wits about you.
Anubis, et there. God, you're not serious. Why tell me this now?
There hasn't been a better time.
He settled back.
I think you would be most comfortable with blood instead of sex.
You've got that right.
My head was still ringing with the dream. That chilling little giggle while he took what he wanted. His satisfied, wet little sounds while he... A new and terrible thought occurred to me. We had assumed Santino took trophies. What if he was eating the parts he took?
I opened my eyes as wide as I could.
How badly did he hurt you? Santino. Vardimal.
I shut my eyes again.
He eviscerated me. If Doreen hadn't... She had her hands on me when he slit her throat. He didn't have enough time to do his entire ritual on her. He just bled her dry and cut out part of her femur. She had her hands on me. She used her last breath to heal me.
Blood. Why blood? And a human bone.
You tell me. What does he need to murder psionics for? Does it have anything to do with the egg?
It is useless to him.
What happens if he breaks it? Apocalypse, right?
Of a sort.
Jeframel folded his hands. The mark on my left shoulder gave another deep twinge.
The egg holds a piece of the prince's power. Decoded on Earth instead of in Hell, it could upset the order of things. It is a violation of the way things should be.
Okay. This was almost interesting enough to make me forget my heart was still hammering from a nightmare. Was this egg a talisman? The way he was talking about it, it seemed likely.
I guess I understand the magical theory behind that, if it's heavy-duty demon stuff. But what's in it? Why does he want it? If word gets out that it's been stolen, what will...
Jeframel's teeth showed in one of those murderous, slow grins he seemed so fond of.
It will mean that the prince is not strong enough to rule Hell. Demons will test his strength, as they have not done for millennia. A rebellion might succeed, and Vardimal might become the new Prince of Hell.
I chewed on this for a moment. He wasn't precisely answering the question, but his answer opened up so many other questions, I decided to let the first one go for now.
So that's why Lucifer can't have anyone know that someone's stolen the egg. Funny. I thought you guys were in Hell because you rebelled in the first place.
My attempt at levity failed miserably. He didn't even look like he got the joke. Then again, not many Psi's studied classical literature and the pre-awakening Christos Bible text, which had been discredited and gone out of use in the great backlash against the evangelicals of Gilead.
I have heard that story.
His eyelids lowered over his glowing eyes as he glanced down.
Human gods do not trouble us over much. It is only that humans were frightened of us and mistook us for gods. There was a rebellion. The fallen defied Lucifer's will and died on Earth because of the love they bore for the brides. But that is not something we speak of.
I absorbed this. If I was a magi, I'd be peppering him with questions, trying to get him to say more, but I was too tired. Silence thundered through the dark bedroom. The mark on my shoulder ached, pounding. I was finally beginning to believe that I was awake. The scars went back to sleep until the next nightmare. Maybe I could sleep too. Maybe.
If he manages to destroy this egg, does that mean you'll be free?
Of course not.
He dropped his eyes, studied the bed. Little green shadows danced on my blanket, showing me his gaze moving in an aimless pattern from my knee to my hand to the edge of the bed, back to my knee.
Should Vardimal's rebellion fail, I will be left as your familiar, perhaps. Then after your death, which might be swift, since the prince is not one for slow punishment, I will be punished for as long as the prince's reign is secure. If, by some stroke of chance, Vardimal succeeds, I will be executed after your death as well. If the prince wins, I wait another eternity for a chance at my freedom, if another chance is granted me at all.
You just can't win, can you? It seemed like I couldn't win either, since both scenarios involved my sudden demise too.
No, I can't.
So you really have a lot invested in this?
It would appear so.
Another long, uncomfortable silence. The world was hushed outside, in the deepest part of night before the flush of false dawn. I didn't feel sleepy, though I knew I should be trying to catch some shut-eye before the morning transport. Once I left the house tomorrow, I'd be on the hunt. I didn't sleep much while hunting.
You must be pretty hungry. This mark hurts like a bitch.
My apologies.
It took more courage than I thought I had to extend my hand, flipping my palm up and making a fist. My wrist was exposed, pale in the dimness of my bedroom. The nightlight in the hall shone in through the door, a cool blue glow.
Here. Blood, right? You need me to cut myself, or...
Many thanks for the offer, Dante, but... No.
You're hungry. I don't want a weak demon. I want a kick-ass demon who can help me deal with Santino.
I fight better when I'm a little hungry.
Fine.
I dropped my hand, feeling foolish.
I'm okay now. You can go back downstairs. Get yourself something in the kitchen, if you want.
As you like.
But he didn't move.
Go ahead. I'm fine. Really. Thank you.
You will have no trouble sleeping?
He was still looking at the bed. The burning intensity in his eyes seemed to have lessened a bit. He ran his hand back, absently, through his hair. The first sign of nervousness I'd ever noticed in him. Was he nervous? Was it just me, or was he seeming a little more... human with every passing hour?
I always have trouble sleeping. It's not a big deal. Go on and catch some shut-eye yourself. Tomorrow's gonna be a busy day.
He unfolded himself from the bed and stood up, hands behind his back.
Why does he stand like that? And why doesn't he take that coat off?
I scooted back down, pulled the covers up, rested my hand on my sword, still lying faithfully next to me.
Thanks. For checking on me, I mean.
He nodded, then turned on his heel and stalked for the door. There was a moment of shadow, his bulk filling the doorway. His coat like a shadow of dark wings. I heard his even tread going down the hall, then down the stairs. He went into the living room and silence pervaded my house again. I snuggled back into bed and closed my eyes. I expected to be lying awake for a long time, shaking and sweating in the aftermath of the dream. But strangely enough, I fell into sleep with no trouble at all.